This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 6, Episode 12, Turning Inside Out. This time of year, we're thinking about going outside if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. And if you're in Australia, you're thinking about perhaps finding ways to keep going. But we talk about both on this show. First of all, we talk about the challenges of going from inside to outside. And we also answer a couple of questions. Jake's question about finishing his Australian season and Anav's question about his lower back hurting after bowling for 2 hours a day. I wonder what might be the cause of that. Listen in to find out on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Welcome to the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. This is your guide to coaching better cricket and to playing better cricket, no matter who you are and no matter where you are. My name is David Hinchliffe and I look after things here, as I've done for many a year and many a podcast. And joining me on the line this week, it's the cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. It's Sam Lavery. Hello, Lavers.
Hi, David.
Welcome again, Lavers. So you have been getting your final preparations in place for the start of the season, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's getting busy, really. Yeah, it's an exciting time. It's always good at this time of year when boys are having spent a lot of time in the indoor centre. It's just probably getting to the point where they're almost at breaking point and desperate to get outside and actually play some games, because there's a lot of work that goes in over the winter, especially the younger ones who maybe haven't been through the process as much or to the same degree. So some of the younger guys at school who are maybe only 13 years old or some even 12 years old, I think, haven't probably been through a full winter program before. So they've done that for the first time, and they've bowled a fair amount of balls, and they've hit plenty of balls along the way as well. And now it's just reaching the point where if we can get outside and do anything, it's great. So we'll try and get out on the Astro and the hockey pitch and do some work out there, which will just make things a little bit more interesting and can give us a few variations on how we can deliver some sessions. And we're praying for good weather, because it's 3 weeks tomorrow. We will have our first game, which will be our 2020 competition down here, which is the South Coast Slam, which will be good fun.
Brilliant name.
And that'll be with ourselves and Millfield and Whitgift, Magdalen College and Winchester College. So it should be a pretty good tournament, and it'll be a good couple of days of cricket. It gives everyone a chance to get at least four games of 2020 in over 2 days. So it should be fun, and I'm sure all the other schools are in the same place where they're just desperate to get outside now.
That is a great idea, because it's a perennial problem for this part of the world where, you know, you just can't get outside until relatively close to the start of the season. And, you know, you do what you can and you find different ways to do it. And I know Gareth the other week was talking about how he's sort of putting the pressure on the groundsman to get wickets ready. And even if you have a really good groundsman, you're still going to have times when it just isn't going to work for you, and you're going to be stuck inside because it's raining. And there could be a situation where your first game, your first competitive game, is the first time you've been playing cricket outside since the previous summer. So, you know, these are big challenges and they can't always be solved, but you do what you can, don't you?
Absolutely. And I think in most people's instances, the first time they hit a ball on grass will probably be the first game, will be the first competitive game they play. So I think the way we've got about it this year in trying to play a 2020 competition gives us an opportunity to try and play and review and then plan and prepare again for another game. And you get four games condensed into 2 days. So that should be a really good way to just get some experience and some match play and some decision making done, hopefully in two sunny days, rather than having the kind of usual we'll have a 150 over game, and if that's on, it's on. If it's off, it's off. So I think this may work to our advantage. Obviously, it's focused towards the 2020 side of things and the aggressive style of cricket, but that's going to be a good thing, I think. That'll be great to really put people's skills under the pump from the very first ball they bowl in any type of match play.
And I agree with you. I think it's an advantage, because if you've been in the nets, then you've been playing in a certain way. That's the that's the way that it works with nets. You can't play in nets in exactly the same way as you play in the middle. And then, if you, especially early season in the UK, you go out into the middle and suddenly you go into your shell and thinking, oh God, I can't get out. The ball's going to be hooping around. It's going to be a slow pitch. I'm not going to be able to use the pace of the ball very much. Suddenly you're in a completely different environment. And if you're playing a 50-over game, you might slog your way to 140 in 50 overs and think, that was well done, everybody, because that was a real bowling wicket. when in fact, if you just had a little bit more confidence that is brought to you by playing a couple of 2020 games and realizing it's not as bad as you think, you can turn that 140 in an early season game into a 190-200 in an early season game, and everybody thinks, well, we're never going to get that. So you're a big step ahead, aren't you?
Absolutely. It should be encouraging them to play in a kind of way that maybe you wouldn't do, as you said.
It frees you up, doesn't it? Yeah,
it frees you up. And also, the beauty of it is, yes, it's a tournament play, but it's a friendly tournament. It's amongst schools we know. They'll be playing against guys they've played against before. There'll be a competitive edge to it, I'm sure. However, it's not the be-all and end-all. It's not going to be the big prize for the season if we do win it. It's just a way of preparing for what's to come. So it should be an ideal scenario. I have noticed how the boys have prepared, especially got to the last couple of weeks. Usually I see them indoors and I think that they give off the impression, they speak about being... They want to be 100% prepared, but they know that if they're going into 50-over games, especially if it's a couple of 50-over friendlies, that they can almost ease their way in. But their preparation has been really impressive in the last couple of weeks, when they're making sure their skills are absolutely how they want them. Bowlers are hitting Yorkers exactly how they want to. They're making sure their slow balls and their options on slow balls are absolutely perfect. They're really strict on their different options to different types of batters. So they don't know their own plans. Everyone knows each other's plans. So everyone's fully aware of what options everyone has up their sleeve and what's expected of them and how they're going to bowl in different scenarios. So I do think that in having it this way, it has probably upped the intensity of training, because they know there's going to be people coming hard at them as bowlers and as batters. So they've got to be ready, and they can't just ease into it with a nice little 40-over game or 50-over game. They've got to be straight on the money.
Well, the good news is that we've been joined by a latecomer. It's the director of cricket coaching at Millfield School. It's Mark Garraway. Welcome, Garras. Better late than never.
I enjoyed the fact that you nearly called me the director of cricket kit. That would have been probably more accurate, I'd have said. But yeah, it's good to be here. The bags are looking very tidy for the season. I've just finished those, so that's all good.
Good. Seeing how much kit you've got there, there's a bat or a stump in every corner. So somebody needs to look after it, don't they?
They do. It's certainly not me. That's what I've got assistance for.
Well, you're just in time, Garras, for us to move on to the yes-no round. We did have one topic planned, but we talked about something completely different and it was more interesting. So we'll save the actual topic for next week. Let's do the yes-no round, of course, which is... three questions that can only be answered yes or no to, no matter how much more that the team want to say. I've got the questions here, so let's get started. First question. Standards have never been higher.
Yes.
Yes.
Second question. Practice harder after you win than after you lose.
Yes.
No.
Third question. Any tactic is good if it works.
Yep.
No.
At this point in the show, we answer the questions that have been sent in by listeners to this show, or maybe readers of the Facebook page or the Pitch Vision Academy page. And we decide on a winner of the best question after we've answered them. And that wins a prize, which is an online coaching course courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And you can send your questions in to us by emailing coach@pitchvision.com. And there's some other ways that you can send in questions too. And we'll tell you about those towards the end of the show. Someone who has sent in a question is Jake. And Jake says, the Australian season is now over for most and we're moving into the off-season. When training alone, you can do plenty of fitness work or bowling, but what options do we have to work on our batting at this time of year? Now, I know we've talked about this a little bit before, But I guess it's an interesting time because a season has just finished in the Southern Hemisphere. And so it's a transition kind of a time. And we never really talked about what you can do on your own in this sort of transition period where you finish playing, but you don't necessarily want to get straight back into nets.
Well, it's a great question, and it's something that we're all faced with, I suppose, at the end of the season. And the first thing I'd do is say have a little bit of a break. I think it's really valuable to get some time away from the game, which gives you an opportunity to have a break mentally, but also to get the body back together after maybe bowling and batting for 6 months. And it gives you that reflection time, which can help to put together some real key emphases for the next few months before you head into the next cricket season. So that would be the first thing I'd say. And then really, some examples of things that can be done. Once you've done your review and you've picked something that you want to improve on or a strength that you want to turn into a super strength, and this is something that somebody like Colin Cowdrey from a very long time ago, but an incredibly good player and hugely respected, would do every winter. He would always go into a winter with the intention of picking one thing and making it really strong within his game. So something that he's never done before, a shot or a tactic or an ability to score in a certain area or to whatever the case may be, he would choose one thing and then he would practice it so hard that the next time that he went into a game of cricket against somebody who played against him for years, that they would be a little bit surprised or put on the back foot by Colin Cowdrey having a different shot or a slightly different approach to a delivery that they may bowl. So I think review is really important. But some of the things that we can do, and as it's an Australian, I think one of the best bits of drill that we all know about is the Bradman drill, you know, where he chucks a golf ball up against or a hard ball up against a wall, batting with a stump or a thin bat or even a full bat. And that sort of stuff is invaluable because you can have fun whilst you're developing. And we all know how his skills were developed by having incredibly fast-paced balls coming at him and bouncing off at different angles. And the result was that he was able to deal with all of the different reactions off of the pitch or through the air that anybody could bowl at him, to the extent that he averaged nearly 100 in Test match cricket. So there's one drill that you can do, and I'm not sure that he'd have been really specific with it, but he certainly developed his skills as a result. The other thing that I quite like from a self-reliant point of view, it doesn't need anybody, is to get some of the batting tees out, you know, some of those little low tees. And I see that a number of companies developing slightly higher tees for you to put cricket balls on or to put bowling machine or incredibles or tennis balls onto. And then you can practice different types of shots. You only need yourself, a couple of tees and a couple of balls. And in particular, the drive shots, moving down the wicket and then driving to hit it along the ground or in the air. The sweep shot can be developed off of these tees really well. And I think one of the things that we've seen in this World Cup has been how good people have become at the slog sweep and being able to take a ball off of length from a spinner and dispatch it many miles or dispatch it into a gap. We've also seen a huge number of reverse sweeps as well. And these static tees, just like a golf tee really, are fantastic for us to build up that skill and that movement pattern to be able to do that. So, you know, inevitably loads of people are going to go to the reverse sweep option after watching a number of the Zimbabweans do it really well, and Glenn Maxwell do it fantastically well, and various others throughout the competition who probably go to reverse sweep as much as they do the normal sweep nowadays. A great starting point for you, Jake, would be to get a couple of those tees, put some balls down and start working out the way that you're going to do that. I'm sure that the spinners in your league that you've played against for the last few years will be a little bit miffed when you start reverse donking them over extra cover for six on a regular basis, because that will be a different challenge for them. So I really like those batting tees. And so for me, review, a wall game where you chuck a ball up against the wall, it's done a lot of good things for a lot of us over the years, but in particular Bradman. And then lastly, getting some tees and hitting off of those.
And there's always the option of if you're in a country like Australia where the weather doesn't go completely ridiculous, that there are places where you can play cricket in the winter as well. So you know, after your break, but perhaps you don't need to be on your own. You can just do something a little bit more social perhaps, and work on some things that you wouldn't necessarily try in a more serious game of cricket.
I actually got a couple of anecdotes to go with what Gareth has said there, which ties in well. On the review side of things and the trying to develop a skill or focus on one or two skills to really, really master over the winter. I was lucky enough to be 18 and I found myself sitting in a changing room in Australia after the game, talking with three or four guys, and one of them happened to be Mike Hussey, who was youngish at the time. He was probably 23, 24, I think, something like that. At the time, he was starting to talk about how he felt like he needed to really go and dominate one shot, and he was going to plan to dominate one new shot every year. And he talked about it previously, and he was kind of underway with that process that he was trying to do. And he was targeting one shot that he was really going to master. And if he felt that he kept his normal game going, but over the period of 3 or 4 months in the winter, focused on turning one shot, as Gareth said, as I came back in there to a super strength, then over a period of 3 or 4 years, it would be a long haul, but in 3 or 4 years' time, then he would be a stronger player than he is now, and hopefully a player that would be able to perform to a very, very high level. And that's kind of where I ended up, I suppose, at the age of 20, 28, 29, really starting to dominate grey cricket, state cricket, and then international cricket beyond there. And he's done extremely well with that. So that's another example of someone who's been extremely productive in their review process. The other one was actually on the tees, which obviously everyone's seen the little blue tees or yellow tees that you can get, which are really useful. The other options, which are the bat mat tees, actually come from my geography teacher, as it happens, who invented them on the spring-loaded little holders of various heights and various different arrangements of how you could put them together. So, yeah, that was my geography teacher, who I still speak to from time to time, who's currently out in New Zealand. He may be back by now, but that's David Cooper. And, he's really passionate about them, really passionate about developing not only grassroots cricket, but also applying things like this to guys at a high level where there's still a level of relevance and there's still an ability to develop that muscle memory and movement, which is all important when it comes to batting later on and towards net environments and then into the season.
Another thing, of course, is that you can watch games on the telly and watch them with a critical eye on the technique and the tactics of players and see what you can learn from some of the guys who are doing some of those amazing things. I mean, maybe not as your first port of call to try and emulate David Warner's switch hit, but why not? If you think you might be able to do it, then why not watch him batting and see how he does it and when he does it, and then maybe next when you do get back into nets, then you can try and copy it. And there's nothing wrong with watching your heroes on the telly and then trying to emulate what they do. It's it might not work for you, but it's good fun trying.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And I think this is a great time, isn't it, with this World Cup going on, to do that and to pick up a couple of tips, but also I think to project forward. And the next World Cup's in 2019. It's in England. It's going to have different conditions over here than they faced in Australia. But I'm thinking, and I know a number of the players that I'm working with are thinking, what is the game going to look like then, and what will people need to have in their locker to be able to thrive in those environments? And inevitably, there is a knock-on effect into the lower levels of the game. So why don't we reverse that trend with the lower levels of a game, trying to think and project forward about what it's going to look like and what they can come up with.
Next question's from Anaf. And Anaf says, I just came back to cricket last week and I've been bowling for 2 hours every day. The problem is my action. Before my long break, my bowling action was the basic side-on action, but now it just doesn't feel right. My lower back hurts after every bowl. I've lost my pace and I'm not looking over my other arm. While bowling the ball, it just doesn't feel like it used to. Please help me.
Well, I think the starting point here, Anaf, is that you've come back into bowling after a break, the first thing is you're over bowling. You know, to bowl for 2 hours,
isn't it?
2 hours every day in a program where you've been bowling for a number of years without any breaks would be excessive, and certainly to come back in. And I love your enthusiasm, but I think probably in reflection after that that first week's work, you've got to say, hang on a minute, how much do I need to be bowling? So that would be the first thing to look at. And maybe going forward, you can think about monitoring how many balls you bowl in any given session, just to see what the trends are, and then marrying that up against the pain that you may be getting, or the discomfort or the soreness that you may get the next day, and seeing if there are any trends that can come out that can inform the way you go about your practice going forward. The second thing is, whereabouts in your lower back is it hurting? Because it could be unaccustomed use stuff. But if you're a right arm bowler and you've got a flare up in your lower left side, then that may be an indicator that some side flexion or something along those lines is causing you some distress. But again, without seeing it and without talking to you, it's really difficult to ascertain that. So a little bit more information on that might be useful. And as we say with everybody, and as we proved last week with Taha's brilliant video footage, then if you were to send that in, then we can have a more detailed look at that. But I would say, first and foremost, cut back on your workload. I wouldn't want to comment on whether to change the action from side on or whatever the case may be until I had a look at it. But firstly, cut back on your workload and just be a little bit more pragmatic about getting back into cricket.
Is it something that you see, Lavers, is somebody goes away from the game for a while, and when they come back, they've kind of forgotten where they were in terms of technical stuff? You tend to assume it's like riding a bike. You just get straight back on and off you go, and it's the same as it was, even though maybe you're not quite as fit as you were. You know, basically nothing's changed. But can you see that breakdown in technique of people because they've been away from the game for a while?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with riding a bike, it's quite simple. The bike hasn't changed, so the way you operate it hasn't changed. So when you're bowling, though, you're not actually using a piece of equipment. You are the piece of equipment that's going to propel the ball. So you're dependent on your technique being maintained, and obviously the grooving of your movements and the muscle memory and the things that you built up in the past, the longer you leave it, the more likely they are to deteriorate. And obviously the fitness and the flexibility and the strength that you have could also have deteriorated slightly. So a number of different variables are coming into play, and a number of different variables may well have moved away from what was their previous method of performing and moved away from the ideal. So you do see it, and obviously with different people it can be to different extents, and maybe with different types of skill within cricket it may leave more quickly. I've seen a number of guys who've rejoined at a kind of Premier League level, expecting to slot straight back in, and maybe it takes a little bit of time. Some of them actually manage to get it back within a few weeks or a couple of months, and some of them it's a little bit longer than that, and some of them never get back to where they were in the first place. But I think as long as you approach it with the enthusiasm but also the control and restraint of understanding that you're not the person you were last time you picked up a bat or a ball, and there's no reason you can't get there. But obviously in the instance here we've got a little bit of an overworking issue, so just be aware of how much work you want to do, and be realistic with your targets. Don't expect to be the bowler you were or the batter you were the very first ball you bat or the very first ball you bowl.
Of course, the good thing about if you've been there before, then it's easier to get back there than getting there in the first place. So you're not going to have as long a journey to get back to the levels you were at compared to the beginning.
You've been through the learning process once, so you will be aware of what you're aiming towards and what you're trying to actually achieve. So hopefully you've got a good idea of the methods you used previously, and you can compare yourself now to then, and hopefully you can identify the areas that do need improvement. I guess the issue would be, what are the areas that need improvement? If they're slight technical changes, then you may find that you can adapt those reasonably quickly. If they're major deficiencies in strength or an element of fitness, then that may take a little bit longer. But as long as you've been through that process before, it does give you a blueprint effectively of what you want to get back to, assuming your body is in the same shape and is able to do so.
Okay, it's time for the soapbox now. That's 60 seconds on the clock. One of the members of the team hopefully has got something to say. I'm a little bit worried that Gareth's just told me off air that he can't think of anything. So we'll see what comes out of his mouth. Gareth, you got a minute. Over to you for the soapbox.
Well, this week I'm going to talk about empowerment of people, and we've got a festival coming up, and I'm going to have 13 players, and 12 of which will play in any given day. So what do we do with the 13th man? Yes, we can do some work off to the side, and we will be doing that. In between the innings, we'll get him out on the pitch to practice his run-up if he's a bowler, or do some high catches if he's a fielder, which he will be in whatever discipline that he goes with. But also, can we make that person useful, and can we make that person have a bit of an appreciation for all the other things outside the game? So, for example, can we give them the role of leading the warm-ups? Can we give them the role of leading the cool-downs and the recovery processes at the end of a game? Can we get them give them a video camera so they can go and get some shots from around the ground, which are going to help some of the bowlers and the batters to develop? So give them the angles that you want them to hit and let them go around the ground doing that. Can you get them to do some analysis on an app like a Dartfish app, an Easy Tag app, which enables them to collect some data for you when we're in the field? It might be about fielding fumbles versus clean pickups. It could be about the cost of wides and no balls, whatever the case may be. But instead of having that lad sitting there doing nothing, can we grow their education and their awareness by giving them different roles? So when they do play the game next, they'll start to access some of these things. They might warm up better, they might cool down better, they might feed back to their teammates better, and ultimately you're developing a more rounded person as a result. So that's my quest for our new festival that's coming up in a couple of weeks, and I hope that you can take some of that on board yourselves.
And that is the end of the show for this week. We've covered quite a lot in a short time, and hopefully you're a little bit better off than you were at the start of this show. Before we go, we need to decide on a winner of the competition, which is, of course, the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And Gareth, we had two questions, as we always do. One from Jake about the end of the Australian season and what he can keep doing to keep his passion for cricket going. And then I have a question about his painful back after 2 hours of bowling a day. Which one did you prefer?
I'm going to go with Jake's one this week. I know we've had a similar question before, but I think we've given him a couple of good ideas for what he can do in the interim period. And as you say, David, if he's in the Brisbane or the Gold Coast, then he'll probably be practicing outdoors the whole winter, the lucky so-and-so.
Yeah, exactly. Never really. They have summer and they have not quite summer, don't they? I mean, it doesn't change that much.
We can only dream, can't we?
Well, congratulations to you, Jake. And if someone was listening and wanted to send in their question to the show, Gareth, how could they do that?
They could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy, and our Twitter is at pitchvisionacad if you want to follow us there and join in the conversation. If you want to listen to this show every week, you can do so by finding your favourite podcast app. You're probably listening to us in that at the moment and doing a search for Pitch Vision Academy. Click on the subscribe button and you'll get the show every week without having to check back. And you can do it the old-fashioned way. If you go to pitchvision.com/academy and you click on the podcast link, there's all the details for subscribing in there. Or if you want to stream the show directly from the web, then feel free to do that. It's all on that part of the website. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavis.
Cheers, Philip.